Blog Talk Radio.
We have been trained to hate ourselves and love white people.
We still are exploited as a people. We're constantly fighting for resources.
We've never been citizens, except on paper.
The participants of this are normally victims of this neocolonialist system.
You're listening to the voices of New Africa. Free the land. Free the land. Free the land.
Free the land. We declare our right on this earth to be a man, to be a human being, to be respected as a human being, to be given the rights of a human being in this society, on this earth, in this day, which we intend to bring into existence by any means necessary.
And we are here once again at the Voices of New Africa, this show dedicated to the liberation of new African people. And as always, I am your host, Brother Popsy, a.k.a. Yera Amati, and we will be joined by some of the brightest minds in the new African community as we have intellectual conversation about things relevant to the new African struggle for independence, land, self-government, and the creation of an economic system that benefits the community, the collective, the whole, instead of just the individual. But as always, we want to shine the spotlight. We want to start by shining the spotlight on an individual, an organization, or an event that was significant in the struggle for liberation of new African people. And today we want to talk about our ancestors, one of our great freedom fighters, one of our great intellectuals, Dr. Amos Wilson. Now, Dr. Amos Wilson was born in Hattiesburg, Mississippi in 1941. He was a psychologist, a social theorist, I apologize, a pan-African thinker, a scholar, and an author. He advocated for independence and nationhood for new African people. He also taught that new African people needed to receive an African-centered, a tailor-made African-centered education in order to equip themselves with the tools that would allow them to solve the problems in our community and secure our survival in the world. He was the author of several books, which included The Developmental Psychology of the Black Child, Understanding Black Male Adolescence Violence, Its Prevention, and Remediation. I'm sorry, I'm getting tongue-tied. Blueprint for Black Power, a Moral, Political, and Economic Imperative for the 21st Century, and many others. So right now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to play a clip from one of our master teachers. This is Dr. Amos Wilson.
And this is what we really have to be about, is the process of building a nation as a people. If you're not thinking in terms of nationhood, then I must say, frankly, you're not thinking seriously of being liberated. Trying to integrate and merge with our enemies is not going to solve our problem. And it's not going to happen, as a matter of fact. It is a fantasy that has kept us from taking care of business for far too long, the idea that we are going to one day be one with these people. That we are going to merge into invisibility with these white folks. And even if that were possible, we should question our motives for wanting to do so. Now, why would you want to merge with the world's greatest criminals and thieves, with the people who have the worst values the world has ever known?
You're listening to the Voices of New Africa. Free the land.
And of course, that was Dr. Amos Wilson. And he died in 1995 under suspicious circumstances. A lot is not known. A lot is unclear. Some speculate that it was a brain aneurysm, and others, many in the new African community, since his death was eerily similar to the death of Dr. Khalid Muhammad, believe that it's another case of our new African leaders being taken out by the government because of their threat to the stranglehold of white supremacy from the system and the threat of African people gaining our liberation. But today, on this day, we want to acknowledge, we want to uphold, we want to celebrate and honor the legacy of the great, one of our great master teachers, Dr. Amos Wilson. And that brings us back to our show and our topic for today. Like I said, we will be joined by some of the brightest minds in the new African community. And as you heard from our master teacher, he talked about nationhood. He talked about how integration is not the solution for the problems of new African people, from black people. And you hear us on the show every week talk about the need for independence, the need for self-government, the need for nationhood. And a lot of people may be wondering, may be saying to themselves, especially the reactionary forces, they may be asking themselves, well, why do we need independence? Why do we need self-government? Why do we need our own independent, sovereign black nation? You know, and they will make the argument that, you know, aren't we free here in America? Don't we have, you know, success? There are several successful individuals. You can point out the Oprahs, the Jay-Z's, and others. We have politicians who are in positions of power. The president himself is even, you know, a so-called African-American. So why is there a need for us to have all of this nationhood talk? And I'll explain it like this. Because the system in which we are under today is really, has really evolved out of the slave system. See, during slavery, after the Civil War, slavery was abolished, but it was chattel slavery that was abolished. But although we were freed from chattel slavery, we never gained independence. We never gained self-determination. See, in essence, what they said is, okay, you're no longer under the grips of chattel slavery. You can go out and you can make a life for yourself. But the conditions are you have to make that life under the authority of the same people who oppressed you. So although you gained, you were freed from the grips of a system of chattel slavery, you were not free from the control of your oppression. And this relationship has maintained even to this day. See, there can never be equality. There can never be true freedom if we don't have independence. And as far as the leadership, the black leadership, which we call the national black bourgeoisie, well, this is a system in which the power structure, those who are in power, who came, put in position individuals who look like the people, who talk like the people, who can relate to the people in order to control the people. See, Obama and the rest of the political politician or political leaders that look like us, they're not black leaders. They're not new African leaders. They're simply leaders of the system. They are working on behalf of the system. And when you have a situation like that, it is called neo-colonialism. And neo-colonialism is simply white power with a black face. that's our topic for today. That's what we want to talk about. What is neocolonialism? How is it affecting us today? It's black power with white face. And I have my brother Kakaiye on the line. Brother Kakaiye, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Free the land, brother.
Free the land, brother. I am, I will. So what do you think of neocolonialism? How is it affecting us today? What is it? Well, I'm going to give it to you, brother.
Okay, well, you know, you defined what neocolonialism is. It's white power with a black face. One of the things we are recognizing as a people, New Africans, is that just because white people are participating in some of the atrocities and being a part of the system doesn't necessarily mean that it's all right for us to be a part of the system. So when we talk about chattel slavery, today, neo-colonialism, we have to recognize the historical precedent. We have to put things in historical context. You know, at one time, we had in Maryland and Virginia an industry and a tobacco industry, which sold most of their tobacco to Europeans in Europe. Once that revolution came about, the so-called American Revolution came about, the market for tobacco had actually diminished. We also know that anticipating that this was going to evolve into a dwindling industry of tobacco, these Europeans changed over to cotton. Cotton was being done from South Carolina all the way to west of the Mississippi River. The Maryland residents, the whites of Maryland and Virginia started to sell their slaves to the South because apparently white people had abolished slavery transport in 1808. But when the American Revolution came about and supposedly black people were emancipated, we had a time where white people had enacted a new system of slavery in which the slaves who did not have land, who were supposed to be granted land from the Special Order 15, had to go and sign contracts with their old plantation owners who lost the war to guarantee that they would have housing and food to eat if they worked on their field. And we can imagine what those contracts said. And as anything, any problem starts off simple and becomes complex, so did those contracts, to a point where now we go to our plantation owners asking them to sign our rights away so that they can employ us as slaves. And the reason we merit slaves because they set back and created a system where they determine what is the rate of pay for the cost of living of their slaves. And so today we have a cost of living that we sign a contract to abide to that's $7.25 an hour. And who in their right mind would not recognize that they are a slave when they're agreeing to not only work for a minimum wage of $7.25 an hour, but across the United States, you have to be able to work and have only an hour lunch. See, these things are put together strategically so that we don't understand that you don't work to get an hour lunch to work for $7.25, but it becomes a norm. And because we have integrated with these white folks and we see that these Europeans are accepting it and doing it, for some reason, black people, you Africans, we are believing that it's the right thing to do. But just because white people do it, we should recognize that it's the wrong thing to do. Because all they've done is rob,
stole, killed, raped, and pillaged our women, children, and even our men. And so we have to recognize that neocolonialism is a part of maintaining slavery in modern day. And the best way to do that is to indoctrinate black people to carry out the tasks, duties, and responsibility of the white man so that the new Africans won't recognize what's actually going on. That's just common sense, like Amos Williams said, Wilson said. You know, when you think about it, if you think it's better to integrate with these people, then something has to be completely wrong with you.
Well said. You remind me of something else that Amos Wilson talked about. He talked about the fact that our people, new African people, black people, need a tailor-made African-centered education that will meet that will address the needs of our people and will equip us with the necessary tools to survive in this world. Because when you look at the present education, the education in which we are given by the empire, the American empire, and make that clear that America is an empire, you know, but instead of being ruled by an emperor or king or queen, is ruled by major corporations. But the type of education in which we receive in the American empire is one that allows us to be still connected with the system in a colonial relationship. It still ties us to the stranglehold of the system of white supremacy, of the system of colonialism, imperialism, and capitalism. I mean, we're taught that, you know, the way, in order to make it in America, you got to go to school, you got to learn, present yourself in a way that is desirable by the system, get your so-called neo-colonialized education so we can get a good job. So in essence, education is designed to make you a presentable slave so the American corporation, the imperialistic corporation, can hire you as a wage slave. It has nothing to do with creating for your own. It has nothing to do with self-determination. It has nothing to do with independence. And in essence, we have been trained and conditioned on a false definition, a false belief about what freedom really is. And us in the independence, the new African independence movement, we understand clearly that freedom is defined by four things. We need independence. We need land. We need self-government. And we need the creation of an economic system that is based on that benefits the collective, the whole, and not just individual corporation at the exploitation of the masses. So you made an excellent point. We have been indoctrinated in a system that perpetuates our exploitation by this system. And understand, slavery was just that. It was the exploitation of our African ancestors based on our color, based on our race. And that system has simply evolved into what we have today. I have my sister Ayo Deli on the phone. Sister Ayo Deli, are you there?
Yes,
Mama
Ayo.
I will. So what are your thoughts on neocolonialism?
I think that neocolonialism is synonymous with integration. I think it's synonymous with, because they had to find a new, I think the system had to find a new way of exploitation of the African masses after the Black Power movement, and integration was one of the ways in which they knew. When you integrate, you have to, of course, you give up something. We gave up our segregation, our so-called segregation, but we were separate but productive in our communities. We had an educational system. No, it probably wasn't as, we didn't have as many gadgets. We didn't have the technology, but we definitely had educators who were teaching a little bit of black history, who was trying to put everything that happened to us in America in a proper perspective. So when you talk about neocolonialism, they have just studied us as a race of people, studied how our relationship with this system, as well as every other African person around the world. And just like we are living in a neocolonialized police state, everyone else in the African world, the third world, is under neocolonialism as well. So we are looking at how are we to teach ourselves, to inform ourselves, to look at the signs and symptoms of being neocolonialized. We have a situation where our people don't even understand or realize we're neocolonialized. We call ourselves African Americans. And what does that gain us? What does that get for us? At least 3 million brothers and sisters imprisoned. An educational system that has not done anything except program us to be good workers, but not well paid. You have to understand the whole nature of the exploitation of man by man, and that man happens to be imperialism, white supremacy. So we're looking at on all levels of our community how neocolonialism has come in, been insidious and destructive at the same time, and how we have leaders who are okay with being neocolonial puppets, from lawyers, doctors, judges, mayors, the few governors, the Congress people, and even the president.
Exactly. Well said, sister. And when you look at the neocolonialists, the white power with the black face in it, and that's kind of the nature of how the system works. You know, the system, because behavior is dictated on consequences. And we understand that, and that's in every society, in every system, you know, behavior from human to lower, you know, species of animals. You know, you train and condition animals, dogs the same way based on consequences. There are negative consequences for behavior that is not desirable, and there are positive consequences for desirable behavior. And because we are under the yoke, we are under the power structure of people who benefit from our collective exploitation, they are the ones with the power to dish out the consequences. And so they give positive reinforcement to those few individuals who sell out completely and work to the detriment of the liberation of the collective race as a whole. And they give them privilege, and they give them favor, and they give them position, and they give them prestige and power. And this is done to control the masses. They control the masses of the people through the eyes and through the success and prosperity of a few. You know, you get a politician, you get a entertainer, or someone of that walk of life, and they put them in the spotlight. And they say, "This, if you behave in this way, this is what you can be. This is what you can become. You can be successful like this." But meanwhile, the masses of our people still struggle. So that's an excellent point. We don't want to run out of time before we give some solutions. So we always want to lead the show on some solutions to talk about what can we do? What are some of the solutions to deal with this system of neocolonialism? And I'll go back to my brother Kakayi. Brother Kakayi, are you still there?
Yes, free the land, brother. Free the land.
Free the land. I am my will.
I am my will. You know, brother, you know, we say time and time again, and I think when we reiterate things, that sinks in a lot better to our people. Nationhood, having our own nation, being active members of the Republic of New Africa, letting people know we have a nation, we have territory, and we have a provisional government in place to represent us in our endeavors of becoming separate from this demonized United States of America. They've used us long enough. It's time for us to set ourselves apart. They benefit from our our mentality of being consumers. They don't allow us to go up the ladder of success without them being in total control of everything that we obtain from this system. Most of us don't even recognize that they have a law in place called the Maryland Doctrine of Exclusion that was created in 1638 that no black person nor his descendants or her descendants will ever be able to prosper from a white society more than a white person. And if you do obtain some source of wealth, it can only come from entertainment or sport. Now, wake up, people. These are the people we're dealing with. They have these things that are public policy now because we see it. We talk about, we let them incorporate terminology and change slavery to employment, oppression to the glass ceiling and the in the corporate world. All these things are just evolutions of terminology to confuse us. The solution, my brother, and all the brothers and sisters in radio land and on the internet, is nationhood, having our own separate nation, independent sovereign nation. And that nation that we have already established is called the Republic of New Africa. It's the five states from Georgia, South Carolina, Alabama, Mississippi, and Louisiana. And we need to support our provisional government. And we need to begin to become citizens of the Republic of New Africa, get our own documentation, passports, everything from our provisional government, and support that so we can begin to create a plebiscite and represent our nation to the UN on all the atrocities that the United States have committed amongst our citizens. That's one of the solutions of me, my brother.
All right, well said, brother, well said. Before we leave, we have to talk to our sister and master teacher, Sister Ayodele, Mama Ayodele. So what do you think? What are some of the solutions to deal with living under this system of neocolonialism?
Well, I just want to piggyback on Brother Kokai, and it definitely has to be education, which you know for the past 40 years, it's been a systematic miseducation of our masses, of our children. And I believe that very, very strongly we have to begin to teach from some of the great documents that we have at our availability, from Yosef Ben-Yankunin all the way to Marcus Mosiah Garvey to Malcolm to Amos Wilson, and the list goes on and on and on. Chancellor Williams, those are books that and concepts and doctrines. They have to be taught in Nguzo Saba, the 42 laws of Ma'at. They have to know that everyone is a citizen of the Republic of New Africa. But when you make a conscious decision to pledge to the red, black, and green, you become a conscious citizen. You put your thoughts and your energies on the redemption of the race. Because, as we said, our ancestors have already put in place a lot of documents, a lot of plans. It is up to us who are elders and warriors and warrioresses to put it into implementation. There are no new plans that we need to be making. We need to be studying the documents and taking and incorporating all of those things into our lives from, as I always say, from the food, the water, the clothing, the shelter, everything, because independence is going to be based on us being able to produce for ourselves, build for ourselves, plan for ourselves, and that's straight from Marcus Mosiah Garvey. You cannot go to a neo-colonial master saying, we want you to provide food, clothing, shelter, water for us. You have to find the means and the methods to provide them for yourself. And then at the same time, making sure that we regain our African minds and our African consciousness. That's a whole bunch of time. You're talking about 500 years of an unpressed, neo-colonialized, beat down mindset, and you see vestiges here and there pockets of cultural nationalism cropping up. We're not talking about cultural nationalism now. We're talking about Pan-Africanism, nationhood, the belief that we have the right. We have the right as human beings on this earth to say we have been tired of the oppression and the miseducation, the destruction of our culture, our religion, and even our families. And this is the time for men and women, children, to stand up and say, nuh-uh, we can't do that anymore. And not just here in America. We're talking about the whole Pan-African world. So those are some of the solutions.
Exactly. Well said. Well said. And we are just about out of time. And I will conclude with this. I mean, the problems that our people face today in the U.S. and really all over the world stems from the simple fact that our people are out of control. But what I mean by out of control is we have no control over the resources and the systems that govern our very lives. You know, we have no control over the economic systems, the political systems, the educational systems, the justice systems. We can go on all day. And in fact, these very essential, crucial systems that govern our lives are controlled by individuals who have historically benefited from the exploitation of our people. So we must realize that the elimination of the so-called abolishment of slavery did not give us real freedom. It didn't give us independence. The end of Jim Crow and segregation did not give us real freedom. It did not give us election of black officials, black police officers, black chiefs, black congressmen, mayors, even black presidents. Did not give us true freedom because we still don't have independence. We still don't have true self-determination here in America. The only way to gain freedom is to gain independence, to secure land in which we control, where we can have nationhood and self-government, and create the type of system that works for the collective and not just the individual as we have today. The type of system that is based on the betterment of humanity and not the exploitation of humanity. That is why it is crucial, it is necessary for us to work hard, to struggle, to fight, to gain an independent self-government sovereign new African nation. That's the only solution for our people, because as long as we are striving for so-called integration, this same relationship with the system will remain a relationship, a slave master relationship all over the planet. Wherever you go, where you see black people and white people together, regardless of what system that is, regardless of what religious organization or religious group that is, it is always white people on top, black people at the bottom. So in order to remedy that, we must have our own. We must work to have our own. We must work to control our own. Join us next week as we continue discussing issues that are relevant to the independence movement for new African people. My name is Brother Prophecy. Free the land.
We have been trained to hate ourselves and love white people.
We still are exploited as a people. We're constantly fighting for resources.
We've never been citizens, except on paper.
The participants of this are normally victims of this neo-colonialist system.
You're listening to the voices of New Africa. Free the land.
We declare our right on this earth to be a man, to be a human being, to be respected as a human being, to be given the rights of a human being in this society, on this earth, in this...